Hey friends, before we dive into today's conversation, I want to invite you to join me and others on December 28th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Winds, Wounds, and Wonder. This is an online contemplative event where I will be guiding us in a reflection exercise to unpack, to process, to reflect on 2023, to listen for those nudges, those directions, those insights that then provide a foundation for our intention setting and goal setting for 2024. This is a contemplative event. There will be some reflection, some journal prompts, some good conversation, and I'm really looking forward to holding space for you and others as we listen back for what 2023 meant to us, for what we learned, and as we look forward for what we hope in the new year. You can learn more at the link here in the show notes. Hey friends, welcome to another episode of A More Beautiful Way, a podcast and project dedicated to slowing down, spiritual formation, and cultivating rootedness in modern times. My name is Bethany Wilkinson. I am your host. I'm a spiritual director and an author, and I'm someone who's really passionate about helping modern people figure out what it looks like to lead rooted, wholehearted lives where we are able to show up to ourselves, to those around us, and to the world in ways that are healing and generative and in ways that are sustainable. I think so much of modern life is too fast. It's too extractive. It's really easy to miss what we care about most. And my hope is that by finding a more beautiful way, by talking about it, by embodying it to the extent that we're able, that we experience more wholeness and connection in our daily lives. So that's me. That's what this podcast is about. Today is the last episode of the season. And so I would encourage you, if you haven't had a chance, to check out the previous episodes. And I'm thrilled to be sharing with you a conversation that I had with my dear friend, Matt Reynolds, who is a speaker and a coach and an entrepreneur and a leader in so many different ways. He's someone that I've known for over 10 years, and I've learned so much from him over the years, so much about leadership, so much about communication, so much about doing the slow, steady work of building community, of investing in others. I've just learned a tremendous amount from him over the years, and it's been a huge gift to see him as he shifted into a new season of coaching others and finding their unique passions, their skills, and fanning the flames of those passions and abilities in the world. So he'll tell you more about that. But in our conversation today, we talk about so many incredible things. We talk about play. We talk about navigating transitions in our identity and in our work. We talk about listening for the restlessness of our souls. We discuss the importance of vulnerability and the need for community. We just follow some really incredible threads about what it means to be human in this conversation. And so without further ado, listen in for this great conversation about A More Beautiful Way with Matt Reynolds. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Bethany.
Welcome to A More Beautiful Way. How are you?
Oh, I'm very good. Having a happy morning here and excited to be on your podcast.
Oh, so good. Well, I'm really thrilled to talk to you. I've known you for a long time. You've known me for a long time through so many phases and seasons, and it's just such a gift to be able to keep learning from you as we go along in life as entrepreneurs and leaders and thinkers and creatives, all of the things. But to orient our listeners to who you are, I would love to hear your response to the question, where do you begin?
Oh, gosh, that is... Even when I looked at that one question, I was like, what does this mean? Like, what is that? But I guess I'm supposed to say what it means.
What does it mean? Yeah. What comes up for you?
Gosh, it makes me think of like being a kid and like just having fun in my neighborhood. You know, like there were two sets of twins that lived down the road, and we would always like, we just needed one more person to have like a 3-on-3 game of anything, like basketball or soccer or football. So I just grew up like playing in community, you know, and that's been a key thing. Like even thinking through some, you know, more recent transitions over the last few years, like, who am I? You know, like that, when I've asked that question, it's like, God, community and like play and really even just like being like playing like with my body. Like I, that, like someone's like, when are you at your best? And I think I answered one time, like after I've just played sports, like with my friends, like I just feel so myself, you know, and like grounded and like joyful and like, yes, I can think clearly. And so I know I can almost judge that in my head. Like, well, that's not serious. That's not mature. But I'm like, gosh, I think there's like some wisdom on that, that I want to lean into, you know, because gosh, it's just such a good well, you know. And as I'm older now, like there's a basketball game I play every Friday. And we've been playing for 7 years. It's all these guys that are aging or whatever, but everyone, it's like a highlight of everyone's week. They're like, I got to have Friday morning basketball. And I think it's just because you don't have any responsibilities there. No one's looking for you to be, you know, a boss or a leader, the husband or dad. It's like, you're just here just to play. And it is so fun. So that's where I begin. And that's what I'm still trying to hold on to.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. The themes of playfulness, of embodiment, of community, and being able to kind of shed those roles and those labels and to just kind of show up as who you are and to like be in the moment.
Yes.
Like I feel excited hearing you talk about it.
Oh, it's the best way to start my weekend because I have to like go to sleep earlier on Thursday. So I used to not even be able to sleep. I was so excited to like go play because when is it like it's on your calendar? You are going to play. And everybody has that spirit and just starts my weekend off so good. I just feel just like fulfilled, you know, because I think it's like we're doing it together too. And it happens to be a very diverse group of people. So I just feel like I get to like interact with all these people and kind of, it just checks so many boxes and I just didn't know I needed it. I got to the end of grad school and I went through this short process and I realized like, they're like, what do you do for fun? Or, you know, what's play? And I was like, I'm not doing anything. Like I'm just doing whatever at my job at the time, like whatever they need. And I'm just surviving with kids. And that made me sad. I was like, where, I have no sense of identity outside of like what I'm doing for my role or my job. And so I was like, well, I do miss playing basketball. What if I did that? And then I realized, oh my gosh, I need this like competitive outlet. Like people, you know, it's just like a way to channel that energy. And so it's brought a lot of like joy, to my life and grounding because I know it's coming. Like it's coming and something even about that, there's like a mental relief. Like I'm going to have a chance to play if I can just get there. And then when I do, it just kind of puts everything in perspective, you know? So.
Yeah, I'm feeling kind of convicted as you're talking because I'm looking at my own life and I've got like lots of things that are like perhaps nourishing or grounding, but I don't have a lot of play. And I'm like, I don't even know what I would do for fun. What do I do for fun?
Yes.
I was literally telling my husband last night, like, we need to have fun. We need to do something that's not like about our businesses or our families or a holiday or like tending to our home. Like, where's that adventure, that sense of excitement? I need it.
I love that. And I would love to know what you come up with. Cause one of the things I do, I started asking this with people before I was like doing this new work and just saying like, what do you do for, you know, what's your hobby? What do you do for fun? Like when you just feel so alive and they would say something like whatever, fishing, snowboarding, whatever. I mean, all different guys. And I was like, when's the last time you did it? Like, like 3 years ago. Or I mean, I was like, what? Like, it was just very interesting to know. And I was at a place where that would have been true for me at one point, but I was like, how are you okay with that? Like, how do you hold that tension? You know what I mean? So I just think that's interesting. Like it's a lot of maybe permission, you know, like, do you feel permission to do this? But I find, you're taking time out or you're using resources to do that. But it's like, how much richer is your life going to be? How much more do you get to show up because that's like filled your tank?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the other thing from your story that really sticks out to me is that role of community and that it's not like a solo thing. I feel like in a lot of like spiritual formation or like slow living or contemplative spaces, there's this idea of going inward and being by yourself. And it's really like an introspective introvert journey in some mm-hmm. ways. But what I hear you saying is like, no, what's big for this is that I'm doing it with other people. And so yeah. I'd love to hear, how did you, maybe you've always just kind of been this way and you know that this is what works for you, but I don't know, how do you hold that, like cultivating a rich inner life alongside like needing to be connected to other people?
Right. Well, this is so this is a funny way to answer that, but we used to have people stay with us all the time. Some still now, but like where our kids were younger and just with my roles, like people were coming in town, we'd host people. And there's always, especially if you're hosting like a family, like people with kids, you're like, oh man, this is going to be like hard. Like you have to clean up a lot. You have to create space. You got to buy food. You got to like really host. And there's always beforehand, I'd be like, oh man, this is like a little bit inconvenient. But I just noticed every time they would leave or the person would leave, it was like, oh my gosh, like that was so rich. You know what I mean? Like, was it harder? Yes. Was our life inconvenienced? Yes. But like, gosh, this is just feels like the way we're supposed to live, you know? And so I try to lean into that. And then, you know, as a pastor, it was like so much of our life was community. And I think that was so rich. Like I do miss that. So even when it's like a burden, it's like, it's so good. Because I don't know, you're talking about what you're learning. You're talking about what you're thinking about, especially when you have good friends or acquaintances and conversations. Like you're just like, what are you learning? Like what's going on with you? Like that spurs my growth. And I know for me, I'm healthier when I'm around people, you know, cause I'm not kind of, you know, you have less time to like spend in your head or in your vices or in your doubts or fears. It just calls out good things. So that's just something I've had to do a lot of work on the other side. It's like, I'm so extroverted. Like how do I make space to go in, which, you know, when you ask this question too, the Henry Nouwen's idea comes to mind where it's like, can you really be in community if you haven't like been with yourself? So there is this like connection. It's like as you're with yourself and know yourself and like yourself, it's like, man, I want to be with people. I want to offer what I have and I want to learn about them and see how they can enrich my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's such a good quote. It kind of, I want to switch gears here a little bit to introduce listeners to a bit more of your story. So you mentioned being a pastor at one point, now you're doing something else. And I'm curious if you could kind of walk us through that story and not necessarily like the details of leadership per se, but you did one thing for a long time right. and your whole world was built around it. And now you're doing a new thing, a different thing.
Right.
And I'm thinking about people who are listening who over the last few years have, I mean, maybe due to the pandemic or just how life happens, we make these shifts from being one version of ourselves to being another version. And there could be a lot in there, but I'm wondering if you could open up a little bit of that story for us and then we can spend some time unpacking what that means for you and what that might mean for listeners.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So, I mean, I did kind of fall into pastoring. Like I had a very like significant spiritual awakening as a senior in high school. I mean, it had been building for a while and I was like really searching, but then it was like, oh my gosh, I've had this grace experience and like my whole life changed. Like I felt totally different, you know, from the inside out. And I was like, man, now I'm like living for God. Like this is what I do. But I didn't know where that took me. It was like, oh, now I'm leading a group. I just got offered a job out of college. Like, can you take over this college ministry? I was like, oh, I want to get married and I need money. So I guess I'll just do it. You know, it's like, but it just worked out. It was like, yes, here's the next step. Here's the next step. And so, you know, I was a pastor for 16 years. It took different forms. And then we were like planning churches and all this stuff. And it was like, this is great, you know, but then I got to a point where I was like, okay, I never like said I'm doing this as like a career. It's just like you follow the next thing. And I started to have a restlessness of soul. And I had not had that. Like I literally woke up for 10 years, you know, being a lead pastor, you know, church in Atlanta that you're a part of, and so many amazing people were a part of. Like, I woke up every morning just like, yes, this is, I get to do this. Like, I'm excited. And then I had a restlessness of soul, and it was challenging, because I was like, is this because of COVID? Is it because I'm having a midlife crisis? Like, what is this? And, you know, I went back to Parker Palmer's book, that Let Your Life Speak. So good. I was reading some of it this morning just to kind of get in a good headspace. And he's like, you know, he was waking up in the middle of the night in his 30s with questions about his vocation. Like, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And I had that. I was like, I have a nagging sense that I could just stay here and do good stuff and be comfortable for the rest of my life, but like something feels kind of missing. Like, is it time to leave home again? You know, is it time to like, to kind of go to evolve in a new way? You know what I mean? Like, and so, and then he has this quote in there too, that just kind of haunted me. Like, you know, we can do a noble job of living someone else's life. And I was like, oh, like I'm not, but I'm on that road, you know, because I did care about what we were building. And I cared about the legacy that I feel like I was like picking up, but it was like, okay, how long do I carry this until it's not actually mine to do anymore? And I felt some guilt around that. And so, I mean, this was like a 2 or 3, probably 3 year period of just like, I mean, I'll go back and read my journals now. It's like, I'm just laboring. Like, and even a question I'm still asking today, like, what does my voice look like outside the church? Like, I'm like, I've been asking this question for like 3 or 4 years, you know, like, so all that was like the kind of inciting incidents that was really making me say, like, I got to pay attention, you know? So when I started reading some of this stuff, you know, people are saying like, well, what is your soul trying to tell you? And it's soul's like such a, it's like, how do you know? Like, that's such a hard question, but I was like, okay, it is the right question. And I don't know how to answer this. I need to talk to a lot of people. I need to pray a lot. I need to read a lot, but like, I can't deny this. And if I don't, and I'll kind of end with this, I guess it's like, if I don't make a move, I think I'm going to slowly die inside. Not because this is a bad place, but because I'm not exercising faith, you know, which is so counterintuitive, because so many people probably are like, well, do you have faith anymore? I'm like, I'm exercising my faith more now than I did before, because I'm stepping into the unknown, you know? And I just feel like I had to do it. And now, so I'll just stop right there. I just feel like I had to do it. And he says it in the book too. Parker Palmer was like, vocation, part of it is like, you do something because you can't not do it, even if you don't fully understand it and can explain it. And so I feel like, you know, kind of silly saying that, but I also feel like, no, this is true. This is spot on, you know, for me.
Yeah. Oh, so much richness in there. What is resonating with me is the fact that there were questions that still maybe aren't answered, and you're living the questions that calls back to a Rainier Maria Rilke quote. I think it's something like, you learn to live the questions, because if you had the answers, you couldn't live them now. And so just like trusting that process of asking the important questions, the restlessness of soul. Oh my goodness. I bet that, I don't know. I just think back to seasons in my own life where I maybe didn't have that phrase for it, but it's like this persistent discomfort or nagging, or like something is off here, not being able to figure that out. So I just love you being able to give language to that. I'm curious to hear, in the midst of that wrestling, what were some of the practices that maybe sustained you, or that you were able to lean into? I mean, you've expressed community, needing to talk to people, but I'm wondering, how did you steward that restlessness, if at all?
Oh gosh, it was so hard. And it's still hard. I think journaling is helpful. And I'm into journaling, and I'm like an advocate for journaling, especially like men's journaling. Like, come on, journal. Like, you don't have to like it. Like, just do it and see, maybe you will like it, you know? Like, and then even reading back. So again, I hate to keep quoting Parker Palmer, but he's like, you know, Most people, like if they go to a retreat or something, they'll write down what the leader says. They'll write down maybe what wise people in the group say. They rarely write down what they say. And he says, like, when we even say stuff, we don't even fully know what it means. So what would that look like to like listen to your own wisdom and then not just listen to it, but like sit with it and be like, do I understand this? So the reason I'm saying that's because I like spent time going back and reading my own journals. Like, okay, what have I been saying? Like I wrote this thing down, this quote or this thought or this question, like you were saying earlier, because it really grabbed me at some point. So why wouldn't I just go back and read that stuff? Because it spoke to me once. Maybe it will speak to me again. Like there's a reason I wrote it down. And so that was a like helpful, deeper process of discernment to like go back to what has my life been saying? What have I been saying, you know, over the last few years? And just noticing some themes there. And then just grappling with it. Like I think, you know, asking really hard questions, it was a big part of it too. You know, like I remember a question that grabbed me is like kind of the five regrets of the dying, you know, it's like one of the top regrets is people didn't live true to themselves, you know, or they had fear and stuff. And I was like, man, I really don't want to have all these regrets. Like, so I just started asking myself that question, like, what would I regret at my deathbed not doing or going for? And tried to be like, okay, so what decisions would I make? What would I do now to not get to that place? So that was big, you know? And for me, like I'm an Enneagram 3. So it's like, I can be such a performer. I can be such a like, you know, it's so unconscious too. It's like, what do people want you to do? What's the right thing? And it's really hard for me to drill down and be like, what do I think, you know? What do I want? And even saying like expressing needs and wants like was really hard, you know? And so I had to like do some work drilling down and like writing some of that stuff out as well.
I'm curious to hear how you would define vulnerability and the role and to hear more about the role vulnerability has played for you in this journey.
Yeah, that's a really good question. To me, vulnerability is like you're in a conversation and there's this like something you want to say or something that popped up and you're like, ooh, that would be kind of, what would that mean if I said it? It's a little bit embarrassing. It's a little bit of a risk. Like, and then it's actually saying that thing, you know? Cause you're like, it's interesting. It is interesting. It's interesting to the person. Like I'm about to tell you something I wasn't going to say. They're like, well, can you say it? Like that to me, that's what it is. Like you thought of it. And then you're like, cause you are like uncovering this part of yourself. It's like, I'm not going to protect. And maybe you will judge me. I don't know. I might be embarrassed saying it. I might be embarrassed with your reaction. So to me, that's, I don't know. What do you think about that definition of vulnerability? That's like,
yeah, I love it because it's so practical. It's not like a, you know, fancy Brené Brown quote. It's like how it shows up in real life. You're at dinner with a friend, you're talking to your parents, you're interacting with your kid. I don't know if it works the same with kids, but I'm just thinking about how that's in our real lives. You know, like yeah. You have that moment. I could think of a few from like yesterday.
Yeah.
Where it's like there's that moment where I could say the real thing, yes, or I cannot say it, or yeah, I can hold on to it for long enough to make it sound perfect. And yeah, just say like, no, I'm just going to say it now before it's perfect without any sense of certainty about how you're going to respond. I think that's vulnerability in practice.
And it always changes the night. You can kind of feel it. You're like, whoa, it's something's been introduced here. And I think that's what I'm drawn to that. Like, and I would tend to like probably overshare where Marge is like, my wife's like, why are you telling that person what you're thinking? Like, I have to temper it, be like, this is not the moment to share. Like, I just reconnected with this person. Don't, you know, disclose too much.
That's so funny.
But when someone does it to you too, you're like, oh wow, something's happening here. Like it's the dynamic is just gets more interesting. So I'm drawn to that. And I really like that, but I have to push myself to practice it too. Cause you can be like, oh, I'm being vulnerable. And you're really not. I feel like if it's not a risk, if there's not like a little something on the line, then it's probably not vulnerable, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think too about how I've only seen, I haven't done like deep research on this, but people talking about how lonely people feel in life right now and how disconnected we are and how social media and our media environment in general exacerbates that. I feel like finding those moments to take the risk to be vulnerable, some of that work of building connection, that's real. And it's, I know for myself, I tend to want to keep the more vulnerable things, not only to myself, but also to make them perfect or to wait until they're resolved. Like I have a really hard time letting people into the process of whatever I'm learning or doing, because I want to wait until it's done. And so in the midst of that, though, it can be very lonely and isolating because I'm like in my stuff without anyone being able to help me with it or to see it. You know, it's just, I just think that I love how you said that, the little bit of a risk there. And I think when I think about a more beautiful way in the world and hopes for connection and community, if we aren't taking the risk to be vulnerable, then we aren't ever really known. And then we aren't really knowing other people, which is sad.
Yes. And it always creates something good. Even if it's like awkward for a second, I just think it's probably the better way to go. Because even if you say something like, hey, you know, maybe I overshared there. It's like, okay, you know, you can, but at least you, like, and I think you're leaning into that in a really good way. Like I loved when you did that video when you were on that bench. You're like, I'm laying on this bench. I mean, that was so cool. Like I was like, yes, I don't know why. It just brings some delight. Like someone's being real, you know? And so I think that's, it's proved to be a helpful tactic. I don't use it for that, but it's like, wow, this create, like you're saying, deeper connections. Like, and usually if you're vulnerable or if someone else is vulnerable, then you kind of feel like you need to match it. You're like, okay, well, let me tell you something too. That's interesting. I don't know why that is, but it's like.
So true. That is so interesting. And because it levels the playing field a little bit, I think.
Maybe. You feel like you have to reciprocate a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, that made me think of something. What was I going to say? The leveling of the playing field. Oh, come back to me. I wanted to hear your thoughts on it. Okay, the thought's gone. Maybe it'll come back later.
I
know. Later.
I hate when that happens. It's like my biggest pet peeve.
It's like right. Going
the muse is here and now it's gone. But okay, so how did vulnerability play into my process? I mean, it kind of worked out. One of my good friends and, you know, Drew McCore and this other guy, Brian Burchick, we reconnected because one guy was going through some anxiety stuff and was like, hey, can I talk to you guys when I'm going through this? And we were like, oh my gosh, yes, you better talk to us. Like, we didn't know, you know? And so that created this kind of like, we started chatting on Marco Polo and then we started doing Zoom calls just with each other. And they're like, this is pretty good. Like, this is helping us. Like, maybe we turn this into a podcast. But I was able to say like, okay, so what's going on with me? Like, guys, I am wrestling. I cannot figure this out. I can't figure myself out. I can't figure out, is it a job? Is it calling? What is this? And so to me, it was huge, like paramount, because I had some people that I could just tell everything to. And I would say like, we all need that. Like maybe it takes a while to get that, but like, you got to have people that you can just pretty much tell everything to, you know? And like, so I was able to just put all my like uncertainty, self-doubt just out there to at least get some kind of like, it felt good saying it, but then getting some kind of feedback to me was helpful. And these are people who know me. It's like, you know me, like, tell me if I'm thinking about this wrong. Tell me if I'm off course here. And then just the affirmation I got was helpful to know some next steps to take. So one of those conversations was, hey, you don't know what you're moving towards, but I think you're pretty clear on what you're moving away from. Could you highlight that X? And I remember the day it happened when I was like, yes, I know for sure I am taking a step. Like I am like some kind of internal threshold happened where I was like, I'm leaving this identity really. And this understanding of myself to move into what's next. And so that was super, super helpful. And I'm working with so many guys now who I'm like, you're telling me stuff, but you're not telling these people in your life, like specifically guys, you know. I think there's like an issue with like male vulnerability where it's like, you have good friends or you have good family, but you're not talking to anybody about what's really going on. And it's like, now it's like pissing me off where I'm like, this is a problem. Like, and I am really thinking and like kind of praying into like, what does this look like to dial this up? Because I think it's an issue, and it would be your life just so much better if you're at least telling somebody what's going on, even if they don't say anything. A lot of times they don't even need to say anything. Just say it for you, and then having someone else be like, wow, I hear you, you know, holding space.
Absolutely. I think it reminds me of this children's book that my friend told me about years ago called Ruby Finds a Worry. And in the story, this little girl named Ruby, she finds these worries and they turn into a big bubble over her head. And she ends up encountering a friend. I don't remember all the details. And the friend starts asking her about what's in her bubble. And over time, the bubble gets smaller and smaller. And they're able to go play because she's not carrying all of these worries in her mind anymore. And I think something similar happens. Maybe we don't share as much because we're probably afraid of things, but I find that in being vulnerable, especially with those people you can just tell anything and everything to, it's not even about finding a solution sometimes. Sometimes it's just about being heard and getting it out of your own body to decompress it a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you're like given like, that's like marriage counseling 101 too. I mean, that's like the biggest thing I'm learning. Like, I don't need you to fix this. I need you to just hear it. And oh my gosh, I did not know that for 10 years at least in marriage, but now I do. So I've learned a lot. Like, I really hear you. Not just saying that phrase, but like, I am hearing you. I understand at least what you're saying. And gosh, that just makes people feel so good.
It does.
Just to like, know you're not crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm curious to know a little bit more about the work you're doing now. What are you doing? What is it called? Tell me about it.
So I've had some new realizations on this. Funny things. So here's some of my vulnerability here. I think what I realized was, okay, I went through something, you know, this kind of crisis, this transition, and I did need to change my job. Everybody doesn't, but I did. But then I think what I did, instead of thinking about like, what's a good business to start? What's a good business model? I think I was so just like, I operate as a pastor, which is like, whatever I'm learning, I'm always reading, I'm always learning. And then I'm trying to like, you know, share of that story and give that to other people and see how that's helpful. So I think what I did was like, oh, I got through this period with, you know, reading things and asking questions, and this process helped me. So I think I just said like, okay, this has just helped me. So now I'm going to create a business to help other people go through this. Probably not the best way to like craft a business, which I'm learning, but it was like, okay, I want to help people. So it's very purpose driven and even like a deeply spiritual process. But what I loved about it is like, you don't have to say like, I'm spiritual to gain credit, you know, value out of it. So yeah, basically I was like, you know, what's my soul saying? Who am I? You know? And I think I am just like a fire starter. Like, fire is like this word that came to me, and it has a lot of meanings, but you know, I created this company called Stoke to be like, I want to stoke the fire in other people, you know, in their hearts and in teams and companies. But I've basically just been working with kind of individuals who have felt similar stuff to me. Like, something's off, you know, something, there's this restlessness. Maybe it's not my job or my life, but like something is gnawing and nagging, and I need, like, how do I figure this out? So I've gotten really good at like helping people navigate in that. It's just, I don't know how often that happens in someone's life. Maybe a couple times in your life, you know, maybe around this like kind of midlife place. So it's been really cool, but now I'm like, okay, this, you know, what I have to offer is way bigger than that. So I'm kind of having to go back to the drawing board, like, okay, this is part of it, but just because I went through this and I can help people in this does not mean this is like exactly what I'm supposed to offer to the world, you know? So now I'm really kind of pivoting more towards like, okay, I know what I do for individuals, like, and stoke people's lives up again, but like, how would this work in teams and in companies? And how do you like take the things you're good at and like make real money in the like marketplace? Like, that's what I am trying to figure out, you know, at this point in time.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And it is cool to see how how like the things that we're gifted in, like those, and not just skills, but like those, I feel like as a pastor, probably, you tell me if this is wrong or not, not only are you in community, leading a team, doing lots of public speaking, and like, it's cool to see how even as we go through periods of transition and crisis and shifts in our identities, perhaps on the other side, like those expressions that are true to who we are do get to come with us. Because I think sometimes there can be this sense that like, oh, everything is going, I won't have a sense of identity. And that is, I think that crisis is a part of the process, like that death,
yes.
that death part of it is yes. real and scary. But it's really beautiful too, to see what sprouts up on the other side of those seasons of emptiness, loss, fear, decay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
No. And that's like, I'm still trying to figure out, okay, I know how I related like in the church and how people mm-hmm. saw me and viewed me and related to me, but like, how do I do this in the like business world, in the non-profit world? Like that's, I'm still figuring that out. And I think I'm getting a lot more comfortable with like, you know what, the thing you're like called to do, or the thing that you like find a lot of purpose in, like doesn't have to be your job, like the thing that you make money in, you know, like, you know. And I heard someone say this recently, like there's a survival dance that we're all doing, and then a sacred dance. Or survival dance is just like, you got to just make your money and pay your bills, and it's okay to do stuff just for the money. Then you have a sacred dance, and like, that's the thing that like your gift to the world and your soul, like how you kind of relate to everything. And it doesn't, you know, some, I don't know what the percentage is, small percent is like both of those things. And I think that's what I was pursuing, but I don't know if that's realistic, you know? So I'm getting more comfortable with like, yeah, maybe I've just got a survival dance using the skills I have to add value. And then I've got a sacred dance, and you know, it's cool if you make money doing it, but maybe it doesn't have to all be one thing, mm-hmm. you know, which that's hard for me because I want everything to be one thing. That's the 3-1 integration. Like, no, it's all connected. We're all connected. Everything's connected. It's all one thing, which I believe, but it's also like, well, that's just not how it always works. Like, can I be comfortable with that? Like, I don't want to, I guess I don't want to like sacrifice my sacred dance because I'm trying to just force it into like their survival thing as well.
Yeah, I love that. That's so helpful to me because I also really get frustrated when I feel like I can't make it all overlap. And in the last probably year or so of my business, it's been me accepting like this is a skill set that I have. Like I can do this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it, which gives me freedom to record a podcast and write a blog. And I don't have to put all of the weight of like my bills and security on my creative work that I'm hoping is like scattering seeds of joy and beauty in the world. I can do my job and then I can create, and that's good enough. Yeah. Yeah.
Was that hard to like come to grips with that? It's been hard for me.
Yeah, it's still hard. It feels messy. Like I had a day last week where I was like, I just have to, it's just messy. Like it's not as put together or organized as I want it to be. It's not like a streamlined marketing campaign whatever. And that is annoying to me, but it's also fine because I still get to do the good work, but I have to tell myself that it's fine. Some days I feel annoyed by it.
Yeah. I think that's helpful though to people. Cause I don't know. It's like, if you can't make it one thing, then you're doing something wrong or you're not. And I don't know. I guess I'm just coming more to at peace with like, it just, maybe they converge at times and then maybe it's just got some like duties and responsibilities and it's okay. You know?
Yeah.
Cause again, the reason I feel I'm passionate about this is like, I don't want to sacrifice the power and the goodness of that sacred dance and being in those places with people because I have to like, just turn it into a business, you know? And I don't know, I'm in process. So it's an iterative process. I just know I get a lot of joy from knowing like, oh, I can help this person and they've come to me or they've been led to me, like, you know, and I want to be able to do that regardless of money, you know?
Yeah.
Cause that's very nurturing to me and it gives me a lot of sense of purpose. And then when I see that transformation in people, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, yes, that's why I'm here. And if I have to like work at Home Depot or drive a garbage truck to be able to do that, like maybe that's okay. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it makes me think too about that vulnerability piece. I remembered what came to mind before, which is that when we are able to share vulnerably, we realize that like all humans are going through the same stuff. Like just, you know, wanting to be seen, wanting to do good work, worrying about our parents, hoping for a stronger, good or satisfying marriage. Like, I just feel like as people, we're just going through the same stuff, whether it's in a church or a marketplace or an after school program. And so I imagine that as you're moving through this shift and giving it new structure and things, I don't know. I just, people are people. That's
no,
people
and there's
are people.
Something like, I don't have all the words for this, but I know Susan Cain wrote that book, Bittersweet. And it was talking about like just moving through sadness and how it was good and connected to like, even like your soul and these like ideals you have. And they were talking, she was on some podcast and they were talking about how much like people connect more around sorrow, you know, than success. And that's interesting to me. Like, wow. Like, so if you're able to share the sorrows, the difficulty, the pain, like that bonds people to you and you to them more than like, look how great this thing was and that thing was, which I'm fine with that too. Like own it. I want you to do well, you know, and celebrate it, but that's very interesting to me, you know? And so, I feel like I do have a deeper sense of empathy and compassion out for people, because I feel like I've been through just some of that soul. God, I mean, you're talking about it, the death and the soul searching and the pain, like the pain inside that you're like, what is this? Why am I feeling this? Like, but really going there and feeling it and trying to work through it, I feel like gives you so much more compassion for what other people are going through. And so in that way, I'm like grateful. Like, this has been a hard journey. It's like so hard, so much harder than I thought to change, to grow, to die to, you know, the old comfortable thing and move into something new. It's so much harder than I thought. Oh my gosh. But I do think there's some depth that I am grateful for. And I mean, gosh, when people talk about stuff going through like something like this, and I'm like, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about, because it is a lonely journey and it is isolating. But hey, it's the real stuff.
Yeah. When you look at the world around you, what are you longing for most?
I would like to, if everyone is truly like listening to their soul. So like, what is your soul nagging you about? What is it like, what questions is it asking you, or what things keep popping up? I just want people to, I would love if people paid a little bit more attention to that and then talked about it. That's why kind of what I'm interested in. Like, what's your soul to, which that could be like, well, I feel like God's telling me this, or my life is telling me this. Like, there's so many ways you can take that, but it's like, what's the deeper thing that's trying to talk through you and to you that you're like, you've been resisting or you've been medicating or running away from? Like, that is, I would love to talk to people about that every day and hear more like about, cause it's so interesting to me. And I feel like if we're in touch with our souls, like who we really are, and we're able to just show that to the world, offer that, I think the world would be a more beautiful place. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. So many of the like conflicts we have, it's like, do you feel like you have space to express yourself and your vision in the world? Like, I feel like that's the vision, you know, for my kids. Like, it's like, yeah, I'll pay for them to go to college or whatever, but it's like when they come home from college, I want to be like, you know, what are you going to do now with this gift of this life? If they're like, tell me what to do, I'm going to be like, that's immaturity. Like, what do you want to do? Like, what's in there? You know, so it really gets into like freedom of like your free will, your choices. Like, what do you want? What do you want to do? What are you willing to like sacrifice for and bleed for and like cry for and stay up late for? Like, I want to know that thing. Cause I feel like if we're in touch with that thing, and we're like taking steps to like bring that vision into the world, that's the goal. That's so, I don't know. What do you think about that? Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. I love it. Even just that invitation to listen to your life. Thank you, Parker Palmer. and to not necessarily be in the practice of like trying to fix everything, but like just even to come alive to it, to be awake to what's really yeah. going on, and to share that with someone, even if it's painful or confusing, to have people be in the process of life with you. I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah. And I'll say this, like, and it could be like, so for me, one of my moments was saying like, I'm not happy. Like I had to be honest about like, I'm not happy in my life. Like I'm feeling stuck in my life. It's no one else's fault. It wasn't an organization or a person. It was like, I'm not happy. And I couldn't say it for a long time. And then when I said it, and my soul wanted me to hear it, we are not happy. You're not happy. I just had to say it and sit with him and be like, oh my gosh, this is true. What is this? I just had to sit with it. Like, what does this mean? It was a big deal. So it might not be this fluffy thing. Like I have a vision. It might just be like, I'm not in a good place. This is not healthy for me. I don't like this. Like, can you just say it? I don't think a lot of us can say it. And I don't know how I got that permission. I was on a walk, but whatever that is, I just want, you know, it might not be a pleasant thing at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So good. I mean, not good, but good.
Oh, so good. That was the beginning. Cause I was like, okay, here we are. Mm-hmm. All progress or whatever starts with telling the truth. Like we're telling the truth. We are not happy. Mm-hmm. Like that was everything. And not feeling like you have to justify it. Just let it be. You can ask your soul that back a question. Why are you not happy, soul? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Why are you speaking this message to me? You know? And again, I love it this way. Cause it's like, if you believe in God, then it's like, okay, God's speaking to me from the inside out. If you don't, it's like, fine, your soul, your body, your person's talking to you. Like, what's it saying? You know, what do you think about that? I'd love to hear that from every person every day. You know, hi, my name is Matt. What's your soul saying? It's so obnoxious, but you know.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, thanks so much for being here, Matt. I always love learning from you, like I said before, and my wheels are turning.
Oh, well, I don't have a weekly stage anymore, so I'm just here to blurt out all the things I've been thinking about. So appreciate the airtime.
Oh, I love it. How can people stay connected to you and follow your work?
Yeah, I mean, I've got stokethefire.live is like my website, and there's some stuff there. And then Instagram, I've been trying to post stuff. Captain Stoker, I'm just trying that on. I was like, you know, this is who I am. Let me just throw this out there. It's kind of fun. So that's my little handle, Captain Stoker. So yeah, people can check that stuff out. And yeah, I mean, I would just say, reach out if something's stirring in, you're like, I just need to have a conversation. Sometimes people just send me a long email and they're like, I just need to say this. I'm like, just thank God, just do it. Yes. Yes. Please don't let the like fear, embarrassment, shame, whatever hold you back. Like that's what I'm here for, the real moment. So if anything stirs you, just reach out. It'd be cool to have a conversation.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt. I'll put all the links to everything in the show notes.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of A More Beautiful Way. If you want to learn more about Stoke and about upcoming retreats, then you can learn more about that in the link here in the show notes. And also on January 5th and 6th, if you are local to Atlanta or if you want to fly into Atlanta, Matt is hosting the next Stoke retreat. I went on the retreat back in August. It was so helpful, empowering. It was a game changer. It gave me confidence to move in the directions I most wanted to go. And if you are looking for some extra support, if you're feeling stuck, I highly recommend that you check it out. Otherwise, have a beautiful end to your calendar year, and I will catch you here in season 2 sometime in 2024. Until then, be well. Bye-bye.